Thank you. Susie Gagne, you're amazing. Susie in here? Okay, because I called for you in the first service. Somebody said you were out on the sidewalk drinking coffee or something. Susie is one of the most incredible people that you will ever meet in your life. I would share anything that I had a need with her and wouldn't be afraid. If she couldn't help me, she would know who could help me. And I'm so grateful for you, Susie. You make a difference in my life. And the years ago in certain churches, if you were depressed or discouraged, you were looked down upon. Like if you were spiritual enough, you wouldn't have those problems. And that's not true. You can be spiritual and you can go through seasons in your life. Could be just as a mere change in your physiological makeup that could cause you to go through moments of doubt and depression. And you don't have to feel bad. The enemy would love to capitalize on that in your life and make you feel like what's wrong with you. And then if the enemy can't do it, he'll send some well-meaning people to do it for him. Exactly right. And so I read a statistic that in 2019 and 2020, even for pastors, it was at a 50-year high that pastors taking their lives because of the discouragement, the depression that they go to. Hey, this isn't the easiest job in the world. And I'm not looking for any sympathy or anything like that. I'm talking generally today. I'm your peer today. We need one another. We need God's help now as much or more than we ever have needed it in our lives. We need one another. And if somebody, you know, if something's going on in somebody's life, don't be a critic and stand on the sidelines and don't condemn them. Be a source of help to them. God's got good intentions for their lives, for your life. He doesn't want you to drown in whatever it is that you found yourself into. Some of you, right today, you're in a mess in your life. You're trying to, you know, just slip by and think, well, you know, it'll be all right. And you need an encounter with God, and you need some people in your life that you can have a conversation with that will love you and support you and say, come on, this is the way, walk in it. Come with me, walk this way. I've been where you're at, and I know a better way. You can get out of it. You don't have to stay there. And so let's do that. Let's do that. Let's begin to be that people. Today, Lord, I just thank you for your love and your grace on our lives. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our homes and our families today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. I could say amen. I've said enough right there, maybe. But I'm not going to. But I'm going to just be very short today. Next week is Back to Church Sunday. And I know that that looks different than it has been for all of us. But I felt today when I was up early this morning and praying that for some that maybe you're still home and you're still worried and you're still wondering, for some of you, you've just settled into, this is the way I'm going to do church. And for a season when we had to, that's okay. But TV, the internet, YouTube, Facebook, whatever, will never take the place of being with one another. God, He has created us as a family, and families, we do life together. We walk together. We are together, and God will do great things in His house. I'm not saying that He can't do it in your home, and He wants to work greatly in your home, but He has set aside a moment in your life to come and gather together with other people. Not everybody that looks the same as you, talks the same as you, from the same background. In fact, the church, and I talked about this, about what heaven will be like. From many nations, God will bring healing to them. And He starts right now. He starts in His house where He bridges the divide between people that are against one another, or you know, well, I don't like that person. Even in this church, people have told me, well, I sit on way over on this side of the church because so-and-so is on the other side. You're going to get to heaven, and God's going to put you right next to them. Get used to it right now. Work it out. Get through it. Refocus. And it's important for you and I to be together with one another. And I just want to encourage some of you, you've decided, well, I'm just going to do this at home. It's not enough. You need others. And I just want to say, whatever baby that is screaming, I love that this morning. I said, I love that this morning. Is that you up there, Brad T? Is that Ethan? Yeah, it is, Ethan. It's okay. Because some have said, well, I'm not going to come because I can't bring my kid. You can bring your kids and sit them right next to you for right now. Children's ministry, well, it'll start again. We don't have that day where, with all the leadership, we're talking, we're praying, we're trying to do what's right, make the right decision. But bring them kids and sit them right next to you. If they act up, nobody, if anybody says anything to you, just say, Pastor said he likes that. Y'all are quiet this morning. Is it because it's raining out, it's not sunshine, and next week we're going to have the coffee truck back out front again too? All right, I knew I get more amens out of that than I do just preach it to you from the Bible. But don't bring the kids. Set them right next to you. It's okay. They're going to be all right. All right? Everybody say, come on. Amen, Pastor. Come on. And did I hear, is there football today? Yeah, see? I get more woos out of that. Where's my woohoo crowd this morning anyways? Where are they? All right. Good. Don't save all your woohooing for when the Bills are playing. Give a little out right now, okay? I want to talk to you today about refocusing, and I want to use a individual today that God refocused his life. Maybe not in the way that he thought, but nevertheless, he had an encounter with God. And I believe that today that many are going to have that same encounter with him. And I'm talking about a man by the name of Jacob in the Bible. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. He was the son of Isaac. He was the second born twin. His twin was Esau. And when Jacob was born, Esau came first. And Jacob reached for the heel of his brother Esau to try to grab it because he wanted to be first. And thus his name was called Jacob. And the name Jacob means heel catcher. It means deceiver. It means many things. None of them are very good. And so Jacob starts his life with this struggle. He starts out in this moment of his life that he's been labeled now a particular name that throughout the rest of his life, he's living this way. And it defined who he was becoming as an individual. And I think sometimes that many of us, we struggle with moments and times in our lives when we are living one way, but God really has something better for us to live. And that's why he wants you and I to refocus. And I want to read this to you in Genesis 32. And by the way, when I begin to read this story, I get so enamored in the Word of God that I begin to read the whole book of Genesis this week. And it gave me such life. And I want to encourage you to do that. Don't just say I'm reading it. Read God's Word. You can listen to it. You can read it. I mean, there's so many ways for you to get it inside of you. And when it comes and it becomes a part of you, it will limit who you have been and create in you who you will be. I like that. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 22, the Bible says, that night Jacob got up, he took his two wives. We'll talk about that during another season. That's another story. Took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford of Jabbok. And after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. There's a moments in our lives where God wants to meet you and you only. Not your family, not your stuff, just you. And the Bible says that this man, many theologians believe this man was Jesus himself, an angel at the least, a representative of God, the kingdom of God, was wrestling with him. And the Bible says that when the man saw that he could not overpower him, Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Jacob was wrestling and he was working so hard that this angel or Jesus touches his hip, Jacob, and the Bible says he wrenched it. He just created, you know, a hitch in it. And I had a man years ago, I had my hip replaced. I don't know, it was 14, 16 years, I lose track. And I had a man come out of nowhere as a pastor, and he prayed for me, and he says, God's going to touch your hip so that you'll depend on him more and yourself less. And I thought, I don't like you right now. Because I had to go through this, having this hip replaced, and that was no fun thing. But I'm going to tell you something, it brought great changes in my life then. And sometimes God, he allows a touch, a wrenching in your life to get you off of your course, hear me now, and get you on to his course, to get you moving in his direction. And he touched his hip so it was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, let me go, for it is Bokar, daybreak, the break of day. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. This is a statement. This is an environment. This is a something that you and I need to find ourselves in, a place where we are alone with God, and that maybe there is a wrestling that takes place. Maybe there's so much of us, and he's trying to break into our lives. And the only way that he can do it is he can touch you and slow you down a little bit to cause you to say out of your mouth, Lord, now I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I want that in my life. I want that in my family. I've prayed for that over my children and my children's children ever since I've met the Lord. Before the children were even, while they were still in their mother's womb, I would pray over them. God, bless them. Use them. Reveal yourself greatly in them. God wants to do that in every single one of us. We need moments like this. And the man asked him, what is your name? He knew his name. He said, Jacob, he answered. He knew his name, but he wanted Jacob to know that he was going to change who he was, that he was not going to have to live by the labels of heel catcher and deceiver and liar and manipulator and somebody that just was always trying to get his own way. He said, I'm going to change that. He said, the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome. There was a change that happened in Jacob's life, like there can be in your life and in my life today, as we allow God to have his way in our heart and in our lives, as we allow our own lives to refocus on who he has called and created us to be. And here it is. Jacob said, tell me your name. And he replied, why do you ask my name? And he blessed them there. And Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. And Jacob, as we do, found himself struggling with who he was, but yet who God wanted him to be. And isn't that where we are in life a lot of times? We know where God wants to take us, but we're at this other place, and we're struggling in this moment. And I want to just help you, just for a couple more moments, just to refocus, and let, just for a moment, our minds be cleared away for the purposes and the plans that God wants to reveal us. Because so many times, as with Jacob, we live with the struggle of our past, allowing our past to define us. We say things like, I can't believe that happened, or I can't believe that they are gone, or I can't believe I still got this job, or I work here, or I live in this place. I can't believe I'm still doing the same thing that I've done so long. And we focus all of our energy on what we have been and maybe even what we are, and we forget about focusing on who He wants us to be and where He wants to take us. And He can take us. And you may be in a tough spot today, but that can end in a moment with God. I believe when they were singing that song this morning, some things were ending and some new things were beginning in your life. Jacob had a label put on him that defined him: deceiver, heel catcher. And some of you are living with a label that you have on your life that someone put on you that God never intended you to be. It could be a label that fits you once. It could be a label that maybe you even had influence in having it on your life. Stupid, ugly, loser, failure, squarehead, no good. These were names that were spoken over my life by other kids and by my father. And let me just insert this one more thing. Aaron touched on it today. Dads, you have the most important role in your life from the words that you speak over your children and about them and to them. You never use words. Maybe they messed up royally, and you never go into that place where they have messed up or failed and look at them and say, you are a scoundrel, you know, you're a failure, I can't believe you're this way. But you go to them and you say, okay, we can move on from here. God's got a better there for you. And I don't know where some of your theirs are today, but you can move on from that place and move to a better place. Come on, you ought to give God a better praise than that. If you're going to give him applause, don't mess around this morning. Hurtful, damaging, maybe a husband or a wife said some things as they were walking out of your life that you're still clinging to. We can't go back and change the beginning, but we could start where we are and change our ending. And I want to encourage you today, refocus, realign, recalibrate, restart, reboot. Listen to this out of Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord, from there, where is your there? If from there you seek the Lord, well, you don't know. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know who I am. You're right. But I can tell you one thing. If from right where you are, you'll seek the Lord, you'll find him, the Bible says. And if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. I've met so many people in my life that just say, I just don't know how I got here. I don't know how this has happened to me. I don't either. And I don't know where your there is. But from there, you can start today and seek God and create a brand new ending and a brand new future for your life. You don't have to stay in that place. I said this in the first service. You know, Paulie, I was with him one day. This is several years ago. And some guy come walking by him and he said, hey, Boris. And Paulie he crooked his head like he does. If you know Paulie, he's got all these head moves. He cricks his head a little bit. And I said, what's that about? And he just said, it's an old name. Then as time goes on, I'd be with him, and somebody else would come up and say it to him. And one day, he said, I'm not Boris anymore. I'm Paulie. Because Boris described what he used to be. I couldn't quite remember it, and I asked him today, and if you want to find out, let him tell you. But it wasn't a great description of who he was. Well, it was a great description of who he was, but it wasn't who God called him to be. God called him to be a man of God. God called him to be an encourager. God called him to be a light in dark places. But at that time, he was Boris. Now he's Paulie. Some of you have got a name like Jacob over your life, but he wants to change it and give you a new name so that you can live and be and do what he has called and created you to do. Come on, that's the time for you to give a great amen. Isaiah 43:18. Says, forget the former things. Get past your past struggles. Move on. Don't dwell on them. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I am making a way in a wilderness and streams in a wasteland. And I want to just say to you, do you believe that? Because if you believe it and you receive it, your life from here on out begins to change, begins to develop, begins to become something that you never thought it could be. And then we struggle with this agenda that some of us live with, our secrets, that back channel that we're always working. And Jacob was always working something. He was always manipulating. He was always trying to do something. The Bible says that he wanted the blessing that God had given to his older brother Esau. From the moment he'd come out of his mother's womb, he's reaching for his heel. And it didn't stop there. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 25 that Esau, he was a hunter, and Jacob was in the house with his mama. That's a whole other story. There's so much about that. And the Bible says that Esau went out one day, and he hunted, and he's bringing food in the house, and Jacob had already been in there cooking. And Esau says, "Will you give me a bowl of that stew?" I was thinking of the bean soup that I made last Wednesday night. Man, if you weren't at the men's Bible study, you missed some. Anyways. And Jacob says, "Yeah, I'll give it to you, but I want your birthright. I want your blessing." And Esau's, he's so hungry that he lets his feelings say, "You got it, give me the food." Got to get over that in our lives. Jacob manipulated that right out of him. And then it wasn't enough in chapter 27, Genesis 27. He wanted the blessing that the older brother would receive from his dad. His dad is dying. His dad can't see. He's feeble. He can't get around. He's hungry. He sends his son Esau, who the Bible says was hairy from birth, hair all over his arms. He sends him out to hunt, to get food, to bring it back, to feed him. In the meantime, Esau's mother, Jacob's mother, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, tells Jacob, "Go make some food for your father and get Esau, your older brother's blessing." She wasn't right by doing that. She should have stayed out of that. And I've had moms in my life, in my pastoral season in this church, when I've worked with her, God was on those kids' lives. And that I've had moms come to me and say, "I don't want my son going to church that much. I want him to go out and experience some of the fun that I had growing up." And pull the blessing right off that young child. Moms, dads, don't do that. If you release your children into the hand of God, they're going to go and do more than you ever thought you were ready to release them to do. Let them go do it for God. The Bible says that Jacob brings the food over to Esau. And in the meantime, he puts on some hairy on his arm. So he feels like Esau. And he wants the blessing from his father that belonged to his brother. And the Bible says as he began to feed him, Jacob or Isaac says to him, "Esau, you are so fast." And he says, "Oh, I had favor." Jacob is lying to him, feeds him. He said, "Father, I'm ready for the blessing." Isaac says, "Come closer to me, Esau." He said, "You smell like Jacob, but you feel like Esau." My brothers and sisters, be very cautious about the decisions you make when you are feeling something. And the Bible says that he laid his hands on Jacob. He said, you smell like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. Okay, come here. He laid his hands on him, and he blessed him. And the Bible says you could not take that blessing back. But even though he blessed them, and even though Jacob had things, they weren't blessed. How many of you know you can have something, you can have a blessing, but if God's blessing isn't on it, you just got more stuff. And I know people that just stack it high and think, "Look at what I got." And it doesn't do them no good at all. I ought to hear a better amen than that. God wants you to be surrendered to him, because he can't bless what we are pretending to be. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals a sin doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them, he finds mercy. If you're a mask wearer, or you're just hiding out behind your stuff or some things, you need to let all that go and get up closer to God. You heard my story. I wanted a motorcycle. A couple of years ago, I wake up. I said, I want a motorcycle. I asked Patty. She goes, I don't care. Go ahead and get it. I go and I buy a motorcycle. But one little piece was missing. The pastor didn't ask God if it was okay if he got a motorcycle. And I get the motorcycle and I'm riding out on a beautiful day and I hated every minute of it. I said to myself, why am I out here by myself riding on that motorcycle, and the blonde is sitting home, maybe crying in the chair like she was yesterday. I don't know. I said, God, I'm sorry I didn't obey you, and I didn't. He said, that's okay. You can get rid of it, and when you sell it, I want you to give it to me. And that's what I did. Because you can have a blessing, but if his blessing isn't on it, you just got stuff. And the Bible says, David said, when I refuse to confess my sin, my wrong, my failure, my mess up. He said, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long, day and night. Your hand of discipline was on me. But my strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. And I said, I'll confess my rebellion to the Lord. You forgave me and my guilt was gone. When you come to him, he wipes it all away. And then many of us were just struggling with God, and we need to refocus. I want to just go to the end. I'm going to close on this. Debbie, come on up. Give up being control. Jacob always had to have his own way and his own solutions, and they will never work. You need to give it up to him. Brokenness also precedes any breakthrough. When you come to him and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. He will help you. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You will not despise. And then you got to learn, you can't do it on your own. 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud, but he shows grace to the humble. Come on today. And I give my whole life over to God. Mark 8:34, in the message, he says, calling the crowd to join his disciples. He said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. I close with this quote by C.S. Lewis. I become my own only when I give myself to another. Come on today. Do you receive that with your heart today? Close your eyes, bow your head. Spirit of the living God, transform us. Some of us are living with an old label that I know, Lord, you want to change. Have your way in our lives. Change some names here today. Change some history. Change some futures today, God. We surrender to you. We give our lives, our hearts to you today. If you've never given your life to Christ, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. He'll come in and he'll begin to change you and rearrange who you are. Lord, I pray blessing over your people that are here, those that are watching at home. I pray peace over them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said a big amen. I love you. God bless you. Love one another on the way out. Don't forget, next week, let's invite some people to join us. Amen. I love you. God bless you.